Because it must provoke in you some thoughts. Is this thing working? If it's not provoking thoughts in you, then you will soon slide to religion. But the Bible says, let God be true. Let every situation and circumstances that wants to challenge what God has done in your life be a lie. Say, let God be true. Every situation, every circumstance that I face are the ones lying. God is true. You know, the scripture says, lay hold what? On what? Eternal life. Why did he say lay hold? That's a strong word. He said, lay hold on what? Where does that life come from? Are you sure? Where does that life come from? Are you sure? Where is that life now? Are you sure? So, why is it telling you to lay hold on it? Because situations, circumstances, your experiences will tell you that it is not true. You don't have the life of God. He said, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. And the violent takes it how? That's not physical violence that he's talking about. He said, the kingdom of heaven allows and vindicates those who are violent, who can think like my brother and say, okay, is this thing working? Is this thing working? Yeah, I must make it to work. It's not God now. God said, your faith has made you whole. God is saying, it's not with me. I have done my part. I like it. Jesus said, no. No, it's not with me. The man said, if you can heal my son, if you can, Jesus said, if you can, you are talking to God and you are saying, if you can, then you don't understand who you are talking to. Jesus turned it around and said, no, if you can believe, if you can believe. But the problem we have as Christians, and thank God, what I want to share tonight goes in the line of our brother. The problem we have as Christians is what? It's unbelief. That's our greatest problem as Christians. Was it? Was it, church? They came to Jesus. They said, why is it that we cannot cast out this demon? Should be the last time you gave us your anointing, we did it. So why is it that this one we cannot cast it out? What did Jesus tell them? Because of your unbelief. And he told them how unbelief will go. How? Fasting and praying. And that's what we are going to share tonight. You know, there is some unbelief that many people don't even know they have. It has become part of them. They don't expect anything. That's why I like what our brother said. They don't expect anything to change. Let's just go to church. In fact, some people get into a situation where they are really frustrated. And they are no longer serving God. They are serving church. They are serving denomination. And so, they go into works. They begin to give more. They come to every program. They do everything. But they are serving church. They have left faith alone. And that's the greatest rot. Let God be true.
Let everything be a liar. Let everything be a liar. Brethren, we have this life in us. And greater is it that is in us than the challenges we face. But we must recognize and understand where our problems lie. It's unbelief. Like our brother said. And that's why this thing that Pastor said we should read, A Walk in the Spirit, is awesome. I tell you. Because you will begin to discover that really the devil is not your problem. The devil is not your problem. Like our brother said, understand who you are. That's the first point. Understand who you are. Stand. The Bible says you should stand. You are not the one shouting at. No, stand. Because you are in charge. Stand. You stand because you know who you are. You know you are in charge. You know you are the authority. It's not devil anymore. Satan lost. They call them the dethroned powers. Stand. Stand. And brethren, this evening, I said we will tackle the subject of how to walk in the Spirit. Because you see, if you don't understand a walk in the Spirit, your Christianity will soon become a form. You'll soon become frustrated. I don't understand it all. But I believe these are the things we should start teaching people as soon as they are born again. Not when they have spent 15, 20 years and their experiences have frustrated them. You should teach them about the Holy Ghost, how to be filled with the Holy Ghost, how to pray in tongues, how to walk in the Spirit. That should be basics. Because God did not expect you to do anything in your own ability. And that's another thing. You know, one of the greatest problems we have is that we can surreptitiously turn grace into works. And it happens without your knowing. It happens. Let me give you an example. Okay. My wife is sick. I go and I fast. Like he said, I fast. Okay, how many days should I fast? Okay, I go 40 days. I begin to give money. I begin to tell God, you know, if you heal my wife, it will be a testimony. The father is a Muslim. They will, when they see what you do, they will be converted. What am I doing? I am giving God a reason. I am now working in works. Because the only reason God will heal my wife is what? What follows from that love? Because he has made provision. And if I don't stand on that ground, if you don't stand on that ground, forget it. You are running into works. Works. And when God pays you by what you are worthy, you are frustrated. Because works must be paid. If you are working, you must be paid. So when he gives you what you are worth, why do you think people get frustrated from fasting? Because what they expect, they don't get. They fast 21 days and they don't see get the thing. Because they turn fasting into a walk. And they don't understand what fasting is supposed to do. I met a woman who said, I fasted. And he was telling God, but I fasted. You know, that person does not even understand. She thought that she can bribe God through what? Fasting. Brethren, it's not like that. I keep telling you, that's why I like this church. I keep telling you because we are going to the meat of the matter. It's time to leave milk. It's time to walk in that grace of God. And grace is what He has provided before your problem started. That is what grace is. You are not begging Him. You are not twisting His arm. You are standing. You are standing on the word, on the promises. And your mouth is declaring it from where? From your spirit. That's why when it works. That's when it works. I don't want to deviate too much tonight. But you know, look at Jude, sir. Let's look at Jude. Jude 20 and 21. Jude 20, 21. We all know it. But he says something there that baffles me. It makes me to go back a bit. For you, beloved, build up yourself. How? In your holy faith. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Continue.
Keep yourself in the love of God.
Keep yourself how? Thank you, sir. What was the subject of Jude? What is it that the whole of Jude, the whole of book of Jude, what is it it is discussing? Contending for what? Contending for what? The kind of apostolic faith, the raising the dead faith that Peter had, the shadow of Peter healing. And what was his answer to, in order for you to contain it? He said, but you, beloved, what should you be doing? Build up well. How? Pray in the Holy Ghost. Yes. Keep yourself. I said, wow. If I am praying in the Holy Ghost and I am building up my faith, then I am automatically keeping myself in the love of God. Yes. That's what that scripture says. But you ask yourself, does God not love you before? Does He not love you? He loves me. But He said you have a duty. You have what? A duty. What's your duty? Keep yourself where? How do you keep yourself in the love of God? When the Holy Spirit has taken you over. If a man is drunk with beer, Abby, he's drunk. He took beer where? And he's drunk. What is the driving force in his life now? The beer, the chemical. If a man is drunk with the Holy Ghost, what is it that will be driving that man? Whether he knows it or not, what is it that will be driving him? Where he goes, what he says, how he does things, I don't care. It's the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost. And when the Holy Ghost drives you, you are keeping yourself where? In the love of God. I so like what my brother discussed. Because this is the challenge of Christianity. Because many of us have believed that, okay, He saved you, you didn't do anything. So you think the rest too, you don't need to do much. Grace knows your house. Foul. 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 Romans 8, verses 1 to 2. Let's go there. We are starting. What's the topic today? Walking in the Spirit. Yes. There is therefore now no condemnation to them. Yes. He defines it for you. Yes. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. Please spend time and meditate on that. Because when you can read that and just know it in your head. He said, there is therefore now no condemnation. And he gave the categories of the people. One, you must be in Christ Jesus. And two, you must do what? You must walk after the Spirit. If you are in Christ Jesus and you walk after the flesh, there will be what? There will be condemnation. What is condemnation? What is condemnation? It's a Bible study. Does anybody know what is condemnation? Apostle.
The feeling of unworthiness.
Yes. What's condemnation, man? It's very simple. Just say what you mean.
Like feeling not worthy to be holy.
What's condemnation?
Something that is not useful.
Yes. The house is condemned. The food is condemned. But what's condemnation?
A feeling of guilt.
Yes. What's condemnation?
Hellbound.
No. His judgment has been passed. It's a legal term. It's like passing judgment on a criminal in a law court. You are guilty. This is your punishment. That's the language there. If you are in Christ and you are walking after the flesh, there is a judgment upon you. He said, but there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but in the Spirit. It means that Satan condemned you to eternal death before you were born again. And Jesus Christ stepped into your place and took your place. He took your sins upon his body on that tree. And he gave you the gift of righteousness. And he saved you forever. That's number one. He said there is no condemnation. When sicknesses came that Satan ordered to stop you, to condemn you, what did he do? He bore your pains, he bore your sicknesses upon his own body on the tree. By his stripes, you were healed. He removed that condemnation of sickness. When poverty came knocking on your door, I said, you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, he became poor. 2 Corinthians 8:9. So that you through his poverty will become rich. Poverty wanted to stop you. Stop you completely. You know that poverty can stop somebody. You can dream and dream. If Brother Ofor does not help you through his bank, your dream is just a dream. But how do we walk in this grace? That's the issue. And like I said before, it's no longer works. You are not doing anything to get it. The thing is provided. You just want to take what rightly belongs to you. The problem is that many of us still walk after the flesh. That's the problem, and that's the truth. And if you don't understand who you are, you will not understand why he said you should not walk after the flesh. When you were born again, before you were born again, Bradford, where did your spirit come from?
Before I was born again.
Your spirit and your body.
The spirit was given. It was alive. I mean, it was there, but dormant, not alive.
Yes, where did it come from?
God.
No, it wasn't from God. The one God gave had been mad. Where did he come from? Who gave you your first spirit?
That was God.
It Adam. Adam. You are born after Adam. Who gave you your body? Adam. The one God gave you. There was no sickness in the garden. The man did not need fasting and praying. He didn't need anything. Everything was there. That's a picture of grace. All he needed to do was what? Just enjoy God's presence. And the answer to your question, sir, what prayers should we be praying now? It's not a question of what prayers should we be praying. It's how do we continue to keep ourselves in the love of God? How do I just enjoy God? Because when you begin to understand how to enjoy God, Haya Baba, grace will start flowing. Because grace is what? Love gives. If you love somebody, do they need to be asking you anything? When he does his eyes like this, and you love the person, you recognize this boy needs something. Give him a new car. Before he cries, you have seen it's a love walk. Why do these men who are very rich, why do they buy cars for their even girlfriends? Girlfriends. They just buy it. They can afford it. They love the girl. They buy houses. What do they do that another woman cannot do? Your body and your spirit, before you became born again, came from Adam. When you met Jesus, what did he do? He gave you a new spirit. But the problem was that he didn't give you a new body. That's where the problem is. Please, you must understand what I'm sharing. If you don't understand it, you won't understand why. Romans 8. I've studied Romans 8. Oh, if you see my Bible, I don't understand it. I read and read God books, read. I love Romans 8. I just love it. But a little revelation and insights are coming now from reading other people. When you met Jesus, when you become born again, what happened? Your spirit man came from Christ. Your body still was the one Adam gave you. So inside this spirit man is loaded with the power and the authority of Jesus. That's why the Holy Spirit can come there. It's loaded. But every time you want to do something, Romans 7, he said, what I should do, I know it. But I don't do what I should do. I do what? What a wretched man I am. Look at Romans 6, sir. What does he say about the body? Romans 6. Read it. Yes. Yes. The body of sin. How did he describe your body? How did he describe your body? He's talking to Christians, though. The body is a body of... Read Romans 7, sir. I think about 22, 23. Towards the end there. He describes the body in another way. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who? He called it a body of what? Death. Body of sin and a body of death. Bradford, this body, this your body, is not going to heaven, no. The sooner we understand that, the better. This our body is not going to heaven. It's not. That's why if you allow it, it will sin. If you allow it, it will sin. It's called the body of sin. If you allow it, it will sin. So why does it tell you? So you begin to understand why it tells you now to walk after what? The Spirit. The Spirit. Does it mean that everything done with the body is bad? Yeah. No. No. But ultimately, they can become a problem. Even the simple thing. Okay, you should eat food, Abby, to preserve the body. But the mere eating can become a sin. If you eat too much, gluttony, say it's the work of the flesh. Or if you starve, simple thing like eating. Hallelujah. Romans 8, verse 10. Thank you, Holy Spirit. If Christ be in you, the body is dead. The Spirit is life. Do we understand that scripture? Romans 8 is difficult to understand. But he said, if Christ is in you, how many people has Christ in them here? Put your hands up. I'm happy you understand that. If you are born again, then the next scriptures is true in your life. If you are born again, as far as God is concerned, the position he sees you is that the Spirit is what? Alive. Why is it alive? Because Zoe, God's kind of life, the resurrection life is where? Is there in your spirit. But your body is what? Is dead. Is dead. The problem we have is we know how to affirm our spiritual position. We know how to affirm our spiritual inheritance. How do we affirm our spiritual inheritance? Thank you, sir. Through confession. You say, I'm seated with Christ Jesus. I am head, not tail. The life of God is in me. I am more than conqueror. Things are, you know, by confession. What are we doing? We are affirming. We are telling our spirit, listen, this is who I am. Don't you ever think of anything other than this. You are telling your mind to fall in line. You see, the body and your spirit man function through the powerhouse or the controlling center called the mind. Your body is firing instructions. Your spirit It's firing instructions. Where are they firing the instructions? To your mind. Because in your mind, that's where decision making takes place. Because you have to decide whether to rise up and go, whether to buy that car, whether to commit fornication with that lady. It's decision. It's decision. It's decision. It's decision. Don't you ever forget that. It's decision. It's decision. Kindly, please don't move around. Please, just stay in one place. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. What have we said? Your body is from where? Adam. That's why the Bible says in Romans 8, verse 23. What does it say, sir? Yes. Yes. Ourselves. He said we are the first fruit of the Spirit. We have the power of God in our spirit. We groan. Yes, why? We are waiting for what? The adoption of this body that has become a problem in our life. What's the problem, church? What's the problem? Your body. Your flesh. It's not Satan. Please forget Satan for now. Satan only acts through your body. He loves to act because the body is not born again and it's from Adam. And when we say body, we mean the desires. We will come to that. Of the body. What are the desires of the body that you know? I am hungry. Abi? That's a desire. I want to sleep. When you should pray 3 hours, the body says, I want to sleep. When you are trying even to fast self, the body says, I want to eat. I want to eat. I usually eat at 6. If I don't eat at 6, I will be shaking. They say it's 6. Some people cannot even fast till 6. Why? Why is it that they cannot fast till 6? Tell me now.
Because of their body. Their body not agreeing.
What has the body done? The body has become the master of their life. The body is in charge. Whatever the body says must be done. And they continually yield to it. So the body has learned, it's like somebody who sees power and is not going to give it up in a hurry. Somebody listening tonight, the body. He said, we are waiting for the adoption of our body. This body is not going to heaven. How will we go to heaven? What shall we go to heaven with? With our glorified body. Our spirit cannot die. Our spirit will go to God. But if Jesus comes tomorrow, what do you think will happen? You will be changed. In a twinkle of an eye, hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 15. We will all be changed to our what? Glorified body. Romans 8, 23 says, we are groaning. We are unhappy. We are not happy with the situation. This body is the one limiting us. We know what we are. We know what is in our spirit. We know that we should lay our hand and the sick must recover. We know that. But the body said, are you? Yesterday, you know what you did? And then you get onto unbelief, and then you cannot even lay your hand. Talk of speak. What is the way out? Because God will not say walk in the spirit if he does not give you the formula to do it. Let's read Romans 8:13. Romans 8 is one of the most loaded chapters in scripture. Yes. Let's start from 12 and 13. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, but not to the flesh. Did you hear that? We are debtors. Based on what Christ has done now, we are debtors, but it's not to the flesh. Continue, sir. If you live after the flesh, you will die. I want you to underline the last part of Romans 8:13. But if you do what? The Spirit do what? Mortify what? The deeds of the flesh, you will do what? Number one, we are not debtors to the flesh. That means you don't need to answer to the flesh. You know what debt collectors do? They will always make a demand. But you don't have to answer to the flesh. I said, Pastor, how now? He gives you the answer in the second half. Through the Spirit, do what? Mortify what? What does that mean? What does mortify means? Eh? No. Who are called morticians? Yes, morticians. They are people who prepare the dead body. When he say mortify, he means put to death. What are you going to put to death? The desires of the flesh. You are angry all the time, like I used to. How will you put anger to death? Through the Spirit. You slap your wife every time. How will you put that to death? Through the Spirit. You are still drinking alcohol and smoking. How will you put that to death? It's not through your willpower. Do you understand? God is not asking you to do anything in your power. He said, walk in the Spirit. What's a walk? What's a walk? It's a movement. You are either going forward or you are what? You are not standing still. It's a walk. A walk is your lifestyle. Walk in the Spirit. Christianity is what? A lifestyle. Christianity is God finding man and helping man to act like God. Say walk. Say walk. It's not coming to church. Thank you that you come to church. It's not carrying Bible. Thank you that you carry Bible. Christianity is what? Talk to me, church. It's a walk. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. And it's a moment by moment lifestyle. It does not mean that I only walk in the Spirit when I come to church. No. 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 Walk. Let's go to Galatians now. We are still coming back to Romans 8:13. But let's go to Galatians. Galatians, you know it very well. We are going to read 5:16 to 18. But let's start with Galatians 5:16. Brother Paul is giving us what is happening. He wants you to understand what is happening. Galatians 5:16. This I say then. Walk in the Spirit. You will not fulfill what? What is a lust? A strong and overpowering desire. A strong desire. A lust. You are lusting after another man's wife. You saw the food. You are lusting. I must eat that thing. Lust. It's not just a desire. It's a strong and dominating, overpowering what? Desire. He said, how do you stop fulfilling what the flesh wants? How do you stop it? He said, walk in the Spirit. Verse 17, sir. The flesh is involved in a fight with your spirit man. And the spirit against your... These are opposed. You see the words he used? To one another. Hey, I like that. I like that. Your spirit, your human spirit, and your flesh, they are in constant fight. What are they fighting for? Control of what? Of your mind. Of that center where decisions are taken. They are always fighting. Always. It will not stop until you go to be with God. Or until you have a glorified body. It won't stop. The spirit lusted after the flesh, and the flesh lusted after the spirit. Then he says something there. You don't do what? Verse 17. Yes. Yes. You cannot do the things that you would. What are the things that you would? Do you understand that scripture? What are the things that you should be doing? That scripture says you cannot do it. Why? There is a constant fight of the flesh and the spirit to take control of your mind where decisions to act will be taken. He said, but you cannot. What are the things that you would? They are the things in your born again spirit. They are the things that God desires. If you read Romans 6 and Romans 7, he's talking the same thing there, but in different language. Your spirit wants to do what God wants. He said, I want to do. I desire to do your will. I desire. I find that I love God. I love God through my inward man. I love God. I love to worship. I love the Bible. But I find in my body the law of sin is working. Anytime you try to do it, it's happened to you many times and to me. You try to pray in tongues. You try to read your Bible. What happens? You begin to sleep. But if you are watching football or video for 3 hours, you will not blink one eye. Why? Because when you are watching that video, you are in the flesh completely. Completely. You are shouting. You are completely. And the flesh is happy. That's which we enjoy. You should enjoy. Verse 18, sir. If you are led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. If you are not under the law, what are you under? You are under grace. That's why it's called the Spirit of Grace. Law there does not mean the law of commandments. Because really, we were not given the law. Or were you given the law? No. Law there just simply means trying to please God in your own ability. Under the law, they gave them, these are the rules, oh, hear ye, O Israel. You shall not, thou shalt not, you do everything in your own power. But when they tried it, what happened? When they tried it in the old covenant, what happened? They failed. Why did they fail? Why did they fail? Their body. Their body. He said, sin revived. When the law, I was spiritual before the law came. But when the law came, what happened? Sin revived. That's why it's called a body of sin. Whenever you say, thou shalt not take that coke in the freezer. there's a coke in the freezer. By now it's very cold. Let me just take it. Don't take the meat. So there's meat. It's the body. The law was given so that sin can increase. God wanted to show them that they are sinners and that they need help. Because if God has told them, you are sinners, they will not have believed. So he had to show them clear by giving them a law. He said the law was given so that sin will abound. So that every man will come to the end of himself and say, God, if this is how to please you, I give up. Jesus rejoiced. He said, that's what I expect you to do. You think you can do it? You need a savior. You need a savior. So, let's go back to Romans 8:13 again. Say, we are not debtors to what? To the flesh. But if through the Spirit we can put to death what? The deeds of the flesh. Then we begin to live. Romans 8:26 now. Romans 8:26 now. Likewise, in the same manner, likewise, in the same manner that your spirit is groaning in Romans 8:23, the Holy Spirit that is inside of you will help your weaknesses. He knows where you are weak. He knows everything about you. So when you allow him to pray through you, what will happen? All those infirmities, all those weaknesses, all the deeds of the flesh, they will begin to die. Small by small. The things I used to do, I don't do them. I just found that they just disappeared. They just disappeared. I thought I was in. No, it's the Holy Spirit. You are praying in tongues. You are praying in tongues. It's exactly what Jesus taught. Exactly what Jesus taught. When Jesus was teaching about the word of God, the sower, he mentioned four, that the subject was the word of God. But what's the objective? the conditions of your heart. If you want to get to 100% work, so that we won't be frustrated, we have seen men who were almost there. Kenneth Hagin, all those men of God, they paid the price. They paid the price. And they saw miracles. They became like Christ. And that's what God wants. And he said that in John 4, around verse 20. He told us what is limiting us. The desires of other things. That's coming from inside. It talks about cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, and the desire of the lust for other things. The desire for other things, where does it come from? Inside. That's what is limiting us all the time. It's not Satan. It's not Satan. What's a walk in the spirit? It's a moment by moment yielding to the spirit. It does not end, I want to end, but it does not end where I've ended. There is still the question of your mind. Because that's where the real battle is. That's where the real battle is. But you can start by engaging the spirit all the time. What's the message tonight, brethren? How to walk in the spirit. And how do you do it? Start by engaging the Holy Spirit by praying in tongues. He said, likewise, the spirit helps your weaknesses, your inability to get result. The things that lead to frustration. What kind of prayer should I be praying? Likewise, the spirit helps your infirmities. What should I be doing to get the thing? Likewise, just enjoy God. Just enjoy God. That's the answer. How do I get that promotion? Pray in tongues. How do I get that husband? Pray in tongues. How do I get that baby? Pray in tongues. And when if you continue praying in tongues, some words will come from your spirit. When you declare them, said, the word that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. He said, the flesh profited nothing. Jesus said it. The flesh profited. And here we are, still thinking that I can do it through my connection, through my know-how, through this. How do we walk in the spirit, brethren? How do we start it? Pray. Allow the Holy Spirit to pray through you. You want to take a decision? Say, Holy Spirit, I want to take this decision. I don't know what to decide, but I am allowing you to decide it for me. But Apostle said, when I am weak, when I come to the end of myself, when I give up and I say, no, this is not about medicine now. It's not about PhD now. It's about God. God knows what will happen in 3 days' time. All my calculations and statistics, they will just tell you what had been happening. They won't tell you what will happen in 3 days' time. Because it may rain that in 3 days' time. And not the whole shop is closed. The street is flooded. Where you want to go to, you can't go there. But the Spirit knows. The Spirit knows. Because it will guide you into all truths. He will take what is of mine. Where is he taking it from? From your spirit. Because your spirit is already loaded. He will take it and bring it out. When you pray in that tongues, he will bring it out. Help you to pray to God. God will give you the answer by revelation. By the word you speak. And when you speak to that situation, it must happen. Let me end. We will continue. Let me end by telling you a testimony. A man took me to court, a lawyer. It was an unfortunate incident. The sister died in my hospital after an operation. I had finished the operation. The woman was alive after the operation. I went to my office to go and write my note. Like 15, 10, 30 minutes later, they rushed to me. Doctor, 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 what's happening? We got there, we did all we could, all sorts of things. The woman died. I told the man, I said, of course, he never believed us. Ah, you killed this, you did this, you didn't do this. You cannot. They almost killed her. I almost gave up. I said, God, just take, I don't want to be a doctor. They didn't allow us to live overnight. I've never seen such persecution in my life. They just came. When they came in the evening like that, that was where we were till the following morning. Asking us all sorts of, putting words in our mouth. This is what you did. You killed our sister. You didn't do this. Oh, who was appealed? Funny enough, the woman who died is a Foursquarian. The brother, that one, I'm sure, he doesn't go to church. They tore the clothes of my partner. They throw stone at him during the night. Anyway, to cut a long story short, they took us to court. And when it's medical case, it's not ordinary court. You will first of all go and defend yourself, the medical disciplinary committee. And that committee is like a court. In fact, you must bring your lawyer. You go and face them. They will ask you questions. You defend yourself. Then they will pass judgment. After, this is what I'm saying. They rotate where they sit, this committee. So, if they are sitting in Sokoto, and you have a case with them, you know what that means? You will take yourself and your people, the people, because they will ask the nurses, the doctors, the anesthetists, you will also take your lawyer, you will go there. Anyway, let's cut a long story short. I told the man, go and do post-mortem. I am sure of what I did. I did not kill your sister. I finished this operation. If they open her up, they will see how I did it neatly. The man had made up his mind. He wanted to crucify. I said, go and do post-mortem. Go and do it anywhere you want. Just let us know so that we can come there. And then you can take your decision. Anyway, we went to medical council. The first one, spiritual fight. This one is spiritual fight. I discovered Esther 8:8. He said, write a decree. You yourself write the decree now. What you want to happen, write it. I said, wow, write a decree. I prayed in tongues, and I begin to decree. This man will not come. He will not come to this tribunal. He will not have chance to come. Of course, the first sitting, he didn't show up. The second sitting, they waited, he didn't show up. Anyway, he didn't show up. They just canceled the case. There is authority with us. Even where you are wrong, it's that powerful. Why? Because you are operating a principle. It's a principle. And God must stand by his principles. We must not take praying in tongues lightly, brethren. It is too important. It is too important. If you have not been praying in tongues, start now. Get into the habit now. Pray 30 minutes. Go on to 1 hour. Go on to 2 hours. That's when things begin to happen. You begin to have revelation. It begins to tell you what will happen, where that promotion is hanging, whether to go and appear. It will tell you. It's not easy. I'm not saying everything will be solved, because we should not make all these things look like, even to stay and pray, is it easy? Pray 3 hours in tongues. Pray 6 hours in tongues, 8 hours. Is it easy? But grace is available. Let's be on our feet. Let's be on our feet. We are not weaklings, brethren. We are not weaklings. God did not make weaklings. That's why he